you know Jesus was raptured? That's what that is. Go over and look at it. Acts chapter 1. Keep your finger there. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to come back there again. But Acts chapter 1. And for the longest time, I read this and I didn't even think about it and as a rapture. And I can't remember who the first person was that called it or referred to it that way. But then I sat and read it, and I thought, that's really what that is. Jesus was raptured. Look at verse 9. Read that. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What's going to happen to you when you're raptured? You're going to be taken up. It's the same thing. What happened? Verse 10, it says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Now, says, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, excuse me, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That's exactly how we're going to go up. I believe that. Do you believe that?
Yeah, amen.
That's what I believe. Now, I've shown you this before. I don't watch The Simpsons, but somebody sent me this a few years back. And it's funny because in Vegas, only one person goes up. Yeah. We hope. I have to say, I've met some really good Christians that live in and around Vegas. So I'm sure more than one will go up. And then other people said, well, there's too many going up in New York and London and Paris. But actually, there's, that's not a lot of people. If you sat and counted them, that's not a lot of people. I don't know if it'll be that crowded. Hopefully it is. The more the merrier. Amen? Yeah, Johnny?
Isn't also, though, one of the things about all those cities is that, like, a major thing is that there's a whole lot of people in one place.
Right. That's exactly right. You're talking about, like, how many people are in New York City? Anybody know?
7 million. 7?
Something like that. I thought it was more than that, actually.
I think there's more in New York City than there are in Ohio.
Let's say there's...
I think that's very much right.
Yeah, let's say... somebody look it up. You all got your phones. I won't get mad at you for going on the internet to look something up. I'm just curious. That's a good question. But every example of men being caught up in Scripture is at normal, visible speed.
Right.
Remember Elijah? When it said Elisha was told, if you see me go up, did he see him?
Yes.
So he evidently was not going too fast to be seen. Yeah, so let's look at it. I want to look at that. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings 2, 11. That's where we start. Anybody find the population of New York?
8.5 million.
8.5 million. So, you think about that. I mean, let's just say in the greater New York area, there's 10 million people. That would mean if only 10% were saved, that's a million. Mm-hmm. Probably not that many, but I would love to know there's 10% saved in the New York area. I hope there are. There's some Christians up there. We know some in that area. We met some too. But... that was Johnny's point there. But 2 Kings 2, look at verse 11. And it came to pass, as they went, they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. Read the rest. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. Verse 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. So he wasn't going too fast to be seen. And the same thing with Jesus. They saw him go up. So he wasn't just like, boom, and just there. They saw him go up. And we have no reason to believe that the rapture will be any different. That we will get caught up in the air. So the question then, but I thought it would all happened in the twinkling of an eye. See, that's the, I think, where some of the people get that idea. The Bible, here's my answer, only the change of our bodies happens in the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye is about the change that we go through. It's not about the trip. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. I told you we were going to come back there real quick. Look at it again. Verse 52 says, in a moment, what? In the twinkling of an eye, what? At the last trump, what? For the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. The twinkling of the eye is talking about the bodies coming out of the grave, glorified. You, your body, glorified. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. You're not going to... I saw one rapture video somebody made, and when the rapture's taking place, there was this long process, and this like light looked like a lightsaber or something coming down out of the sky, and the people are going, you know, and it's transforming them into... And I thought, if they were making it look like that was slow motion or something, maybe that would have been okay, but that's not how it's going to happen. It's in the twinkling of an eye, which is faster than, you know, I've heard people talk about how quick it is and the debates about it. It doesn't matter exactly. It's just, it's faster than you can, you know, blink your eye. You know, it's that fast. Now, somebody said it's the little twinkle when you see the light shimmer off of somebody's eyeball. That's the twinkling of an eye.
It is.
Yeah, but I don't know if I've ever actually seen that, except for in a cartoon.
No, I met you.
That's what won her over. The twinkling of Greg's eyes. I like this picture. I've shown it before. Because when those bodies, they're going to be changed and then come out. And when they come out, we'll come back to this in a minute. They're going to bust those graves open for starters. But when they come out of there, if anybody does see it, and if it's at night, because it's going to be night somewhere during the rapture. And those people who are raised at night, they're going to look like, you know, bolts of lightning going in the opposite direction. Because we're going to be, we've talked about this before, you're going to shine. Your glorified body is going to radiate light. When the Bible says you're a child of light, it doesn't just mean you're happy, clappy. It means you are in your eternal state going to be a big light bulb. Do you know there's no need of the sun or the moon because the Lamb is the light thereof?
Amen.
You are going to be as He is. I mean, over and over, the Bible makes it clear that we are going to actually glow. I believe, and I know John and some other I've talked to agree with me about this, but Adam and Eve, I believe, in the garden were like that.
Yeah.
And then when they took of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the light went out. Adam looked at Eve and her light went out. And then he took of the fruit and his light went out. As the death kicked in right there. From that point on, they were dead man, dead woman walking. Jim?
Maybe that's why they actually noticed that they were naked at that.
Exactly. I mean, you're glowing with light, you wouldn't really even see the body directly. And it would be like a... Because the Bible says He's clothed with light. That's what you're talking about. The light would be like you're clothed. You can't see the body. And then light goes out. Ryan?
I was just going to say, this has happened before. We turn to Matthew 27. Where it says,
well, we're coming to that.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I want to get, but that's why I said we'll come back to the graves issue. That's. I just want to get there here first. But I was told, my mama always said, that's what you get when you talk to people about these things. Like, hey man, a lot of what people believe comes from books and movies and drawings. And if they're biblically accurate, that's fine. But if not, they do a lot of damage. This Chosen series is screwing everybody up who's watching it.
Yep.
It's about 10% Bible, 90% garbage. And if you're watching that Chosen thing, it's going to mess you up. Everybody I talk to watches that stuff. They come back confused and asking questions. Well, wait a minute. I thought, oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's just in the show. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. They make Jesus a sinner in the thing. He's a 12-year-old boy, And he goes, you remember the story, he goes to the temple, and after they find him, Joseph says, what are you going, or what made you do such a thing to us? And Jesus, in the real Bible, he says, well, you know I'd be about my Father's business. He doesn't say that, he says something else. And then Joseph says, what are you going to do for your mother to make up for your transgression? Jesus didn't commit any transgressions.
Exactly.
And he wouldn't have to do anything to his mother. That's the whole Catholic Mary thing creeping in there.
I left the Southern Baptist Church that was intent on watching that in church.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's why these churches, and I mean, it's just amazing. It's blasphemy.
It is blasphemy. Yeah, we were talking about the other day, it made me mad. I was mad.
So that's why, whether it's our discussion tonight or something on the TV that claims to be Bible-based or whatever, if it doesn't go with the Bible, it's too bad. If it's your mama, your TV, it doesn't matter. Too bad. Romans 3:4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar.
Amen.
As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Stick with the Bible, you won't have anything to worry about. Start following books and movies and things people tell you. And we was talking about earlier, what were we asking Jill about? Why people put their pinky out when they drink tea. And Jill said, well, it's English. I said, well, that's just, that might be true, but where's the actual documentation about who started that?
That I don't know.
And that, you see? And so that's what you have to demand of that's not a big issue, I'm saying.
Right.
But when it comes to this kind of thing, you should be insisting that somebody show you in the Bible where that is. That's what all these verses, we'll read a couple of them in just a minute, but it's not to be harsh, but we're supposed to put what we're told on trial against the Bible. Everything you're told goes on trial, even if it's your own mama. My mama knows it. My mama knows if she tells me something, I'm going to check the Bible. Thankfully, I don't have a mom that tells me a bunch of nonsense, so I don't spend a lot of time checking out mama. I know my Bible. I know what she said. But if I've known guys, I know people with mothers, fathers, siblings, friends, and they're always saying, well, doesn't the Bible say this? Doesn't the Bible teach that? Doesn't the Bible? And you find out 9 out of 10 things they say like that aren't in the Bible. You've got to put it, but that goes for the TV and the movies and the internet and everything else. Go to 1 John 4:1. First John 4:1. If you there, read it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits. That means put them on trial. What are you going to try them with? That's the only thing you got. And it better, if you're English, it better be the King James. We don't have time to get into all that, but write to me if you have questions, and we'll send you a link to the almost 3-hour worth of documentary we did on it. Go over to Acts 17. These are great memory verses. Acts 17:11. If you're there, read that with me. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Daily. That's the way it ought to be. Every day when you hear something, just get that Bible out. I tell you, you listen to a lot of these prophecy teachers, they don't know their Bible. You listen to creation ministries, when they talk about science versus evolution, they got some good stuff. But as soon as they start teaching the Bible, Ken Ham will hand you some corrupt new version. He's promoting the legacy Bible now. I've told you about how bad that is. And he'll bring on some of these guys from MacArthur's school, Masters University now, promoting that stuff. And the Institute for Creation Research, Henry Morris, when he was alive, he said, we're sticking with the King James Bible. He died, and now his son, I think, has died too. Now they're moving on, using the new King James, and moving on like the rest of them. Martin DeHaan, when he was around, Day of Discovery and Our Daily Bread was King James. He died. His son went down the new version road. Now they're all ecumenical and goofy. So you better just be careful. Get your Bible from your local church if you're attending a good sound doctrine Bible church. Don't get your Bible from these guys. No. You can listen to some things about science, about Noah's Ark, you know, that kind of stuff. Prophecy even, that I can see, I've gleaned some things from people like that, but very few, like Noah Hutchings was one of the only prophecy teachers that I would ever recommend when he'd ever taught the Bible. And I don't agree with everything he taught, but he was good. But that's rare. So in addition to the above that we've already talked about, do you think taking a few minutes to observe the universe on the way to heaven is too slow? I mean, just taking a few minutes? Let's go back to this thing here. I mean, I don't know that we'll do that, but when I'm going up, I hope I see Jenny right next to you, like, yeah! You know? Brian! Coming up from Granville, you know? There are the All Balls! Yeah! Yeah, all the way from Jessica. Oh, yeah, there's Mark, too. Oh, good, he made it. I'm just kidding. But you just think about it. I mean, this, right, it's showing you the orbits and everything, the planets, but that is going like faster than the speed of light. But even if we were to go that fast, in the vastness of the universe, it's going to give us time to look around. And I mean, God went to all that trouble to make this massive universe. I would like to think that my dad, when he died, Luke 16 says when the beggar died, an angel came, took him, and took him to heaven. I'd like to think, I believe this, I believe every one of God's children, when you die, an angel comes and gets you just like that.
That's right.
I'm just simple enough to believe the Bible. If it happened to that, it happens to every child of God. He's no respecter of persons. And that when you die, an angel comes and gets you. And I'd like to think, I've seen chick tracks where the angel's holding on, like doing this, holding on to you. And whether he's holding on to you or however it is, we're going to be escorted to heaven by an angel. And I think we're going to take that trip. I think we're going to have time to observe the universe. Yeah, we'll be going way faster than the speed of light. Do you realize that the speed of light, if the scientists are right, it would take you 10 billion years to get to heaven. So obviously we're going to go faster than the speed of light to get there. But not quite. I think I'm going to get ahead of myself there. But you reach the end of the universe, and that's what you'd look back and see, according to what the computers tell us, just as you're getting ready to enter into heaven. And there's no indication that our flight will be beyond some level of visible speed. Now, in a vast place like the universe, you could be going 1,000 times the speed of light, and it still would be visible. But from Earth to heaven, we're going to have to travel at some sort of warp speed, to put it in terms of science fiction. There's no doubt about that, because it would take billions of years to get there if we didn't. It may even be at the speed of thought, but again, after we've gathered in the air with Jesus, we're going to, I think, hit the speed, but I believe it'll be somewhere in between the speed of light and the speed of thought. You know, we're not going to just, boom, be in heaven. I don't believe that. I believe we will travel, but just think about being able to observe the galaxies of God's handiwork on our way home to New Jerusalem. Yeah. So then another question. Will the unsaved world see the rapture? Now this is a question that a lot of people have taken for granted, that no one's going to see the rapture. The answer I found is the Bible never says no one will see the rapture take place. Now you read through the Bible this year and tell me if you find that. I don't count how many times I've gone through the Bible, but I can tell you, I go through it once a year at least, and I have never come across anything that says that the world won't see the rapture. Not everybody will see it, obviously. Some people will be asleep and they'll wake up and go, what happened? You know, that kind of thing. But I believe some people are going to see it. there's no indication that the world sees Jesus until he returns. So I don't think they're going to see Jesus. Because you realize if Jesus comes back in the size of a normal human and he's at the edge of the atmosphere, no naked eye could see him. You just happen to have your telescope on him at that moment and you could see him. And that's not, I don't think, going to happen. But they won't see Jesus, but some people are going to see some of this stuff happening. They're going to see the people. Now, they'll go so fast, they probably won't even know what in the world? What? You know, some poor guy is going to be walking past the cemetery drunk. Oh, Fred, you're drunk. Yeah, Joe?
Well, of course they'll see, oh, there goes a plane. Why did it crash?
Well, if the pilots both are not Christians, but I've heard and seen some evidence that they make sure that they have, they spread the Christians out. But they also have the planes, you know, are auto, you know, and so they can, if there's any sign that the pilots pass out or whatever, they can take it,
well,
remote control. What?
It doesn't really matter if the plane goes down, if all the Christians are taken in the rapture, they're all going to,
yeah.
All the people on board are likely damned anyway.
Well, no, I mean, it's, you're going the hard way, I'll put it that way. I mean, you know, there are going to be some. So that'd be quite the thing. The rapture happens, and then you die 10 minutes later.
At this point, if they're on that plane and they're not taken, they crash, they're likely dead.
Well, they're not. Yeah.
What about?
Well, there might be some people get saved on the way down, like the thief on the cross. Would you?
Well, you know all the scripture you pray gets you, but about the.
Yeah, let me move on. And you bring that back up to me. When the Bible says every eye shall see him, that's at his return. That's not the rapture. So we know that at the rapture, he'll be up in the air. They're not going to see him. It's just a matter of physics. He's not coming back as a giant. You know, he's not going to be a 500-foot tall Jesus, like, what is it, Oral Maggard saw at one time? Oral Maggard's an old friend of mine. Oral Roberts. Oral's in heaven right now. He'd get a kick out of that. But here's how the rapture is described in other main rapture passages. Let's look over at 1 Thessalonians 4, a familiar passage, but now look at it. Because a lot of times what happens is, I've noticed Christians get over familiar with something and they miss something. Or they just take something for granted. I'm guilty of that. I know that happens. Beginning verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So the souls are with Jesus in heaven, he brings them back with him. And then what happens? Verse 15, read that. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Asleep referring to the dead in Christ, those who have died. Their bodies are in the ground, their soul is with the Lord. In their soul body, they come back with Jesus in the air. What happens? Well, first their bodies come up. Look at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that is going to happen really fast. And then, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So there's nothing there about our flight being in a twinkling of an eye or being in a moment, but the body changes in that moment, that twinkling of an eye. And then we're caught up just like Jesus was, just like Elijah was. In addition, the scripture seems to indicate that the dead may also leave open graves behind, which was what Brian was referring to over in Matthew 27. Look there real quick. Because in these Left Behind movies, and I don't know, but I can't remember if they even showed graves in the Tim LaHaye version that came out with Kirk Cameron, and then later with Nicolas Cage. I can't remember if they showed graves or what, but in some of the first rapture movies came out, the graves were all still intact and the bodies somehow just disappeared. But look what happened here in Matthew 27, beginning of verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. This is Jesus dying on the cross. Verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Read verse 52 and 53 with me. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. The graves were opened at this. Why would the rapture be any different? And why? What gives people the idea, I don't know, that the graves weren't going to be opened and they're just going to kind of poof, come through?
Like Gunsmoke, Boot Hill.
Well, Boot Hill is not going to have too many saved people up there. But yeah, this is why I used that drawing by Peter Ruckman to demonstrate that. He drew it that way. The graves are open and the people come up out of the grave, because that's what the Bible seems to. If it's a resurrection, the Bible says that's what it's going to look like. The rapture is a resurrection for all the dead saints.
Amen.
And so that's what's going to happen. And the scripture seems to indicate that we may also leave our blood behind. This is one that really bothers some people for some reason. They just don't like the idea of leaving a mess behind when they leave. But look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I've talked to people about this, and some people get kind of upset about this, the idea. Oh, I just don't think that's going to happen. That's just,
Are Jehovah's Witnesses afraid that somebody's going to use it as transfusion?
I've never run across that. But look at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Your body's not going to have that corrupt blood in it anymore. Where's it going to go? I guess some people believe it's just going to evaporate. But I believe that it's another possibility with Adam and Eve. When the lights went out, the blood came in.
Yeah.
And the blood is corrupt. The life is in the blood, but it was corrupted. So when the light went out, the blood became corrupt. When Jesus came, why did he shed his blood? For that reason.
The blood that maketh atonement for the soul.
And why? Because when the sin entered into the world, it was to a blood that was inside a light being that was incorruptible. It's probably like water. It's probably pure and clear. But when the lights went out, the blood became bloody. And so that's why Jesus died and shed his blood. And that's why I believe in the rapture, you're going to leave your blood behind. That's something that may not, but this isn't just a Gregology. A lot of people I know, a lot of other Bible teachers believe the same thing. Ruckman, again, drew this picture of it. If you look close, the guy coming out of the casket, no blood, because he'd been embalmed. The other people, bloody mess left behind. How many of you saw the rapture movies when they raptured and the angels stayed behind and folded all the clothes? Did you see that? I've looked for that long and hard in the Bible. I can't find that the angels who are part of the laundry department. Yeah. Johnny?
I know I saw a movie where they did that. But I heard that the reason they would have done that in the movie was as a connection to Jesus, because he folded his clothes when he was resurrected.
But that's not, that wasn't a rapture, that's a resurrection.
Yeah,
I also heard it was because God is not the author of confusion, and these clothes laying around, it's just so confusion. That's what I told. So gathered side by side, not touching, believers will take about this much space in the sky. Now, you check me out on this. You take that about that same space and go put it on a map somewhere, and you could fit about a billion and a half people in that little amount of space of land on the earth from that using that.
What are you talking about? What space?
The red thing?
The red up at the top that isn't the earth.
There's light.
Okay, sorry. Now, I'll be right there.
Yeah.
If you want to look for me. I'm going to the front. But from a distance, that's a, if anybody were to look up and see the church up there, it would just be a mass. But the reason I put it like that is because Jesus is going to be up there. We're all, I think we'd be like around him like this, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to lead us north from there. So I've always thought, what would it look like if I were, you know, to be standing back and see the church up there around Jesus? Because it says we're going to be caught up with him in the air to begin with. Then he takes us. There's going to be at least a moment where we're all around him, up there in the air. Oh, I just love thinking about it. So read carefully, think clearly, and believe the words. It's an amazing book. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Got just a minute to you for a couple questions here. Jill?
Yeah. I have heard that the people's clothes will not go with them. True?
Yeah, that's why we're saying the angels stay behind to fold them.
I'm joking, of course.
But I'm joking about that.
Yeah,
I think you're going to... Your gold teeth, your fillings, your glasses, you know, jewelry, your metal rods, that metal plate in your head, whatever it is that God didn't give you, it's going to drop and stay down here, and then what is your body will be glorified and go with you.
So there'll be clothes and
bloody clothes mess, your wallets, your, you know, everything else left behind.
And of course, all the people living in the oceans will be brought up and eaten by the fishes or burnt up or whatever happened to them.
That'll
just raise them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why when I was teaching this to the kids, I used the, take sand and put little pieces of metal in there and take a big magnet and run it through there and then show how it comes up out of there. And that, well, God knows, they talk about a DNA, your DNA has like a little tag to it. And God knows, everybody's got their own. God knows exactly which one's yours, and all that's going to come together. It's just amazing to think about. Yeah, Johnny?
The clearer thing that would indicate to me that the blood would be left behind would be the fact that, isn't it when, like, Jesus uses the term flesh and bone?
Mm-hmm.
After he's resurrected.
Well, that's what I was referring to in 1 Corinthians 15:50, that flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom.
But yeah, that's
and
another
then flesh and
that,
yeah.
That's why the physical body will be transformed.
Right.
But that's why the blood the part that's not transformed is left behind.
Right. Yeah. And we could go a little deeper with that, but for time's sake, we didn't get into all the references.
My only other thing was you were asking about people will see it happen. You know, there's like four or five passages that says one's in the field, two are in the field, one's taken, the other left, one's taken. All like in the field, grinding at the mill. They wouldn't even know they were taken unless they saw them. They would have seen them get taken.
Yeah, one's there and one's not there. The one that's not there is going to notice. Whoa!
Something to them, yeah, they'll see.
Yeah, two in a bed. One's gone. The other person in the bed's going
to
notice.
That'll lend credence to their alien abduction thing. They always saw the aliens taken.
Well, yeah, because they won't see Jesus, so they're not going to have an explanation for it. Right. Seeing it or not seeing it, they're not going to have an explanation for it. Yeah, amen. All right, well, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this book you've given us. We wouldn't have a clue about any of this if it wasn't for this book. Of course, we wouldn't really know anything without this book. Thank you so much. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the author who also is the teacher, the comforter and counselor. We thank you for everything we can learn from this book. Help us to hunger for the truth of this book and to just love the words and to love the one who gave us the words. Love the Savior as we ought to love him, longing to be with the Savior, longing to see Jesus face to face. His precious name, we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's-